And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Corey Sandin. Rick's still out on vacation, and boy, do we have a great show for you today. From Bite Sport Fishing, Captain Brandon Hayward and Captain Jake Clinshaw. We're going to be talking some serious fishing here with these two experts on Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. When I get back to the dock from a fishing trip, I need to get caught up. And your San Diego County Ford dealers have a perfect solution. The Ford F-150 truck with an available interior work surface to put your laptop, paperwork, and more. This is just one of the many useful features Ford has built into this amazing truck. Get behind the wheel of a Ford F-150 truck with an available interior work surface. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer to learn more. They'll be glad to hook you up.
In America, the future belongs to everyone. So we built the vehicles of the future for everyone. Command the road with Built Ford Tough trucks. Gear up and head out in a Ford SUV. Or check out Ford's adventurous new lineup like Bronco, Bronco Sport, and Maverick. Order your perfect truck or SUV built for you by you. Or get big cash back, low APR, and exclusive lease offers at your local Ford stores. Where the future is for everyone.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain! Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslandersSportFishing.com.
All right, good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And, Pete, I couldn't think of a fishier way to start the new year.
So, yeah, this is our first actual live show of 2023. Is that right? Am I putting the numbers right together?
Like Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everybody, yeah. Great to have you, Corey. Ricky's still vacationing. He'll be back next weekend.
Well deserved.
Yeah, absolutely. The first big vacation with the kid, too, so with Wyatt. So that's pretty exciting. And his lovely wife. What a great way to start the new year here with Captain Brandon Hayward and Captain Jake Clinshaw. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah, Bite Sport Fishing. Brandon. So,
I'm actually just going to leave right now and let Jake do it.
Oh, you're going to let Jake do it? Because he does most of the fishing anyway, right?
Yeah.
You just kind of are like the boss now. You just kind of run the show.
I still go. It's just I'm pretty much a secretary, you know.
You're the secretary. Yeah, right. You still go fishing.
I do.
Yeah. But Bite Sport Fishing is just now. You have how many boats? You have a whole. You have like a navy now.
I have 2 28-foot Parkers and the Freeman, the 34 Freeman.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of. We started. Well, I started with a little one-person boat, yeah. And then we went through a few 23-foot parkers, and I had a 23-foot Grady that I used. But as our fisheries kind of evolved and changed, and you have to go to Tanner Bank and all this other stuff, we kind of outgrew the 23. So we use those 28 parkers now, and then the Freeman. It's perfect for this as well.
Is the Freeman the one I've seen at Fishman's down there at the dock?
Yeah,
that thing is with the lights on it and
it's
like disco looking.
It's
like,
badass.
I was going to say that. You said it for me. I mean, that thing's incredible.
Yeah, and it's quite a boat to fish on, right, Jake?
Oh, it's the best. That's my baby for sure.
Catamaran, fast. Yeah.
Fast and looks good. That's all you need.
It looks good. Yeah,
and catch
how's
it
fish.
The fish is amazing.
Does it?
Yeah, the fishability on it's the best part. I mean, that's the selling point, really.
Yeah.
Just because it allows you to fish the whole boat versus like our parkers are great for what we do, like island and everything else. But
sure.
Usability, like walking around the boat, and it's great. The way it drifts, it's the best. It's kind of the ultimate fishing machine right here.
And how was your season?
It was good. It was a good season. We're just getting out of Swords right now, and they just put all the gear away for that, and we're kind of rolling into our island spring season right now. But overall, it was a good year. Swords was kind of slow. Tuna was great. Sea bass was amazing. It was a good year.
Yeah. So do you relocate the boats, Brandon?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't really have a sea bass fishery down here. I would love to see that. 2010.
Not yet.
Yeah, that 2010 to kind of 2013 or whatever you want to call it happen again down here. But, yeah, we run up north out of Newport or Long Beach for those.
So the Freeman and the Parkers will all be based out of...
In years past, I've kept the Freeman down here for the winter, but it's really hard to get a winter run going.
Yeah.
So we're online out of Fisherman's, like once a month to do different types of trips. Like we were online today. We probably wouldn't have gone anyways because of all this swell and everything, but to go down the Baja Coast, use the speed of that boat to go to places like Santo Tomas or Punta San Jose or wherever, or go to San Clemente Island.
Yeah.
So I made a little raft of these trips, but I've never had any success filling them down here in the winter.
Yeah.
So for the first time, what I actually decided to do is bring the boat up north and try doing sea bass trips or run sea bass island trips on the Freeman and kind of give people an introduction to that boat and try that out for up there.
So
we're going to bring it up in the next couple of days and do some of that.
You running that up there, Jake?
Yeah, I will. Yeah. I'm excited.
Freeman's your boat?
No, we all switch
y'all
around.
Switch around.
It's his boat.
Yeah. they're all his boats.
Like
right? Yeah. But yeah, they're all. But so swordfish season. You said slow. It was a little slow for you.
It was a little bit tougher this year.
You guys got some fish though.
Yeah, we still. I think we had 8 for the season.
You did
for the company. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It was our slowest season yet.
It's slowest yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just I mean, there were some days that. Guys got them, and then
a lot of
days didn't, right?
Yeah, same as any other fishing, but it was just tougher year. I mean, last year we were getting a lot more shots than we did this year. Like, our success ratio wasn't as good last year. This year, the bites that we did get, we capitalized on, and we scratched together 8.
And they're big fish.
Yeah, they're a lot bigger this year.
All big ones. But what do you think percentage-wise? I mean, like 33%, one out of every 3 trips? I mean, is that...
No, it was lower.
Yeah,
lower.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's still incredible, right? I mean, swordfish, right? I mean, that's
pretty cool.
10 miles from home.
That's the ultimate. Last year was like a 50-50, I'd say, like to get a shot.
Wow.
But this year it was a little bit slower than that.
Well, there's nothing more incredible eating than that I've had. I mean, I've eaten everything from the ocean, and that is one of the best pieces of fish I've ever eaten in my life.
Oh, I get excited thawing some of that out.
Okay. Right?
Yeah, I look forward to eating that.
And it freezes so really well, too.
Really good, yeah. I just ate some from last year. It was perfect.
Wow. Yeah. So, and your bluefin tuna fishing you guys caught. I mean, I just saw time after time where Brandon was posting.
I think this was the best bluefin year in terms of consistency in numbers for the last 7 years, whatever it's in, we've had with that fish. That Mad Mac helped out a lot. The interesting thing is like there weren't as many cows or big cows or 300 pounders. And so there's a certain group of people, like, they don't want to come out unless you're catching really big cows, you know? So we ran a few less, we had the best fishing numbers wise and consistency wise, but we probably ran the least amount of, not the least amount, but we ran less than last year or less than we did during the pandemic for sure.
So less kite fish?
There's kite fish.
Kite fish, yeah.
When I go, I only use the kite because my customers are just like set on doing that, you know? I just think that when we're only, it's the classic thing, like when your only tool is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right?
Right.
So when all we were doing was kite fishing, that's all we did. But now between the high-speed trolling and other things, there's so many different tools to that fish. So based on conditions and wind, you can kind of tailor your approach.
Sure. And the variability of where the fish were this year, from 10 miles away or 5 miles away to 100 miles away, was kind of amazing.
Incredible. Huh? There was one day I was flying the kite into the Coronado Bay Bridge. We were like below the 9. It was a clear day. You're putting the kite out on spots up, and you're like flying it like right towards San Diego Bay. You can see the skyline and everything.
How crazy.
So it was top 10 wildest for sure.
Pretty awesome. And then that Dorado fishing, right?
Yeah. Jake got to do a lot of that.
Dorado was good, yeah.
Yeah.
We mostly did bluefin, just because that's what people wanted. But the trips that we did get to go fish Dorado was really fun.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of days we were passing them on the way out. Like, I'd be driving to go fish tuna. I guess that's what my people only wanted to catch.
Yeah.
And you're passing, like,
breezers.
Yeah, breezers, color spots, little foamers of them, which is a trip. Never seen that before up until this year.
How was the weather this year? I mean, you guys are on the water every summer, every fall, every spring. I mean, was it a good weather year? Was it a tough weather year? Was it on and off?
Jake's out almost every day, so he can comment, but I feel like every year it's getting windier and windier.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It was like the year of the south this year. I don't know why, but lots and lots of south wind this year for sure.
But it seems like we had a really good, though, for that, like, El Nino-ish, like, five-year period. Like, it was, we had mellow winters and dry winters and beautiful summers and just, like, the lack of wind. But as we kind of got in that fourth year, the fifth year, it kind of changed.
Absolutely.
And now we're a couple years out of that.
I still hold a lot of things to that kind of benchmark of 2014-15, because that was such a game changer.
Like, you know, the Wahoo
everything
stuff.
Changed, yeah. Wahoo stuff. But those years, like, I never even checked the weather. You'd wake up, go fishing, have board shorts and a t-shirt on and sandals, and it was warm, and you never worried about wind or weather. So, yeah, the oceans just changed so much. And that event changed our waters and northern Baja water just an incredible amount. It really shifted things.
Yeah.
Cycles. And patterns.
Yep. Yeah. So how does that Freeman troll? I mean, which one, like, you're trolling these Mad Max at what, 12 knots, 14 knots, something like that?
Yeah.
Which boat trolls the best, the 28 Parker or the Freeman?
It's a good question.
I would say the Freeman.
Freeman?
Yeah, I'm biased to it.
Less
but,
wake?
Know.
Or?
It just rides a little bit better. All the boats at that speed, like no matter what boat really, doesn't really ride the best because it's at that point where it can't plane out.
Right.
It's like that in-between speed where it's not your above idle, but it doesn't want to plane out yet. So they're all kind of funky, but that one's just heavier and wide, so it trolls the best, for sure.
And certainly burns plenty of fuel, like just like all those at that speed.
That's
right?
The worst.
Yeah.
Trimmed up and doing your thing, it can get better fuel economy than the Parkers, but it hates going slow.
Slow, yeah.
Because it has a vented hull, and it has a huge tunnel through it, so it, like, feeds off of air.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not the best on the wall.
So are you guys sold on catamarans now, or you still like the monohull for various things?
The monohull is great for a lot of the stuff that we do. But, I mean, I definitely do like the catamaran a lot, especially for the offshore side of things. It's great.
Because of the speed?
Yeah, speed and just functionality, like the way it fishes. With the catamaran, I mean, you're getting like, it's almost like a two boats in one. I mean, it's two holes, so it's a lot wider, which makes it drift a lot better. So all our offshore fishing is drifting, and because of that, because it's so much wider and has two holes, it's like it acts as kind of like stabilizers, so it doesn't roll as much in the trough when you're drifting.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it creates stability.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the freeboard, because the freeboard's so much higher than the Parkers, does that cause problems sometimes for you?
Only for lifting fish in. Other than that, no.
It's really nice because you can like rail fish without squatting down.
Ah.
It's really the ultimate boat for our fishery. And a couple years ago, you know, there's people held on to a lot of former beliefs about catamarans.
Yeah.
If you ever want to like get a cool backstory on cats, like there's a video that was done by Freeman on Billy Freeman, the guy who started Performance Catamarans, Freeman's. It's like 8 minutes. And he just says in it, like, at the beginning, they like rode well in a lot of ways, but they did horrible in quartering seas. They looked god awful. They're ugly. There was like all these elements that people didn't like. But Performance Catamarans, there's four or five different brands that make them, changed all that.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any real downside to it, to my mind.
They've developed them into a better machine than they used to
be. Your bow is like your stern.
Uh-huh.
Everyone, you can have five guys on the boat. Everyone can be up in the bow.
In the bow, yeah.
You can't do
pretty
that
nice.
on a monohull pilot house.
Yeah.
With that said, there's trade-offs, like everything in life, but you're exposed to the wind more.
Yeah.
So you're like, when you're traveling at 40 miles an hour, it means you're like pretty much getting belted with 40 mile an hour winds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just it.
That's just it. Yeah. It's a trade-off.
It's part of the
deal. You get to Tanner Bank in 2 hours.
2 hours.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're running at 45 knots?
42, 39, 44.
Oh, crazy.
Oh, look how crazy is that?
Yeah.
In seas, too?
No. It's like if there's like heavy swell and wind, you're doing like 35 or low 30 or something.
Oh, you're going slow.
Yeah.
You got to pull back a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. So, and that's the cool thing about bite sport fishing is that you offer these different opportunities. And the Parker 28s are no, I mean, they're not slow either. I mean, they move and super stable and very, very great fishing platforms.
Yep.
And a lot warmer, right?
And a lot warmer. And they're good, buddy. They're great. Island boats are great blue. They're great for everything that we do as well, you know. But just once you have to go 80 or 100 miles, it's nice to have some speed. Our thing is we take people who have a day.
Yeah.
There's different styles for everyone, and not one's better than the other.
Right.
But our demographic of people is people who have like a day to go fish. They want to go out there, get it done, come home.
Right.
And focus on big fish.
Yeah.
And maybe everything will change again, and there'll be no tuna. When I started the business, I was really naive in a lot of ways, but I started my business with like no part of like offshore fishing in my like business model.
It was coastal.
We had a cycle for 4 years, 5 years where there was no offshore fishing.
Or it wasn't.
2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, there was like nothing. You walk down the boat at H&M, there was four boats shackled to the dock.
Yeah.
So... yeah, things change a lot. My point is that maybe things will change again, and we'll have to change our boats to that type of fishery.
Yeah.
But for what's going on right now, the Parkers and the Freeman are the perfect deal for us.
Yeah. No. And so now you're going to fish sea bass coastal as well as islands. Is that kind of the sea bass yellowtail?
Yeah. The coastal fishery has kind of gone away.
Huh.
We don't have kelp.
You were like the king of the coastal fishery.
I tried to be.
Yeah. I know. I shared it with you a couple times.
Right.
You were king, man. Call me up and say, get your butt up here. Let's go. Get some sea bass.
And what I really had going for me is after 2014 when we had El Nino and people were like, it's over. We won't catch any sea bass or squid. I really got into that mackerel fishing on the kelp lines and using the floats and that type of stuff. And it was just me. I only had me in the one boat, and I was booked, so I didn't really have to put it out there. So I was really quiet about it, and that's how I built a lot of my regulars that we have now.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll come back, but we don't have kelp like we used to, and we don't have squid. So without those two things for sea bass, you don't have a lot of stopping power. So you can catch them on a place like Newport Reef or on some of the pipes or kind of the, like, hard bottom structure areas, but they don't stick around for, like, weeks like they did when we had flourish and kelp or squid nests.
Yeah. Interesting.
On the flip, this is hands down the best squid year there's been in the last, like, 8 or 9 years, according to my commercial buddies.
On the coast, too.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. So I kind of have some hope that
we're going to come back
this year, for sure.
Yeah. And the Catalina thing that you do is so much fun, too.
And we catch the grade of sea bass that we used to catch on the coast at Catalina.
Really?
Like we had more than a handful of 60-pounders last year, right, Jake, in March and April. So
no kidding.
That fishery's really come back a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
And to mix in some big yellows, too, right?
Big yellows.
Yeah.
Big fish, I mean,
that's always a chance. So that season is kind of like now, right? It's just getting rolling.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had some really good January trips. Last year, Wes had limits in February, one trip that kind of kick off our sea bass season. That's now, if you can just kind of get things stabilized and get to looking.
Yeah. So, Jake, what's your favorite? So, swordfish, bluefin, general offshore, or island sea bass and yellow? What's your favorite thing to do?
Mine's swords.
Swords? Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's bad.
It's
so bad.
You're addicted to it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite for sure. Sea bass is my close second.
Yeah.
It's really close because, that's what I grew up doing. That was kind of my roots, so that's always going to be.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Channel Islands.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that makes sense.
In the heart of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for today. Two experts here talking about our local fishery from many, many aspects, too. And going to be a fun show.
I'm looking forward to it, Pete, because Brandon is a wealth of information. And then he just brings in his number one sidekick, Jake, here.
Yeah.
That even might know more than him, too, right?
No doubt.
I love it. Right? And give us a call, 213-432-1090. That's the way to give us a call here to Let's Talk Hookup. Or you can text us via the app. So one of two ways. And the app is a free download if you haven't done it yet. Super cool way to listen to previous shows and archives. And as a matter of fact, now up is the New Year show,
yep.
Which went up yesterday.
Yep.
And yeah. Tim
Adam was ill. Adam was ill, who does all that for us. Adam's our guy, and thankfully Adam's feeling better. He got it up yesterday, and the show from New Year's Eve, Tim Ekstrom,
yes,
is up there, and then the New Year's highlight show is also up too.
So perfect there. So text us via the app. It just text the show on there and send us a message that way. Question for Brandon or Jake from Bite Sport Fishing, or give us a call 213-432-1090. We're giving away to one lucky texter or caller. We're gonna have Jake flip the coin at the end of the show, and we're giving away a full day trip on the Liberty out of Fisherman's Landing. Fishing right here. So give us a call again, 213-432-1090, or text us. We're going to be right back with Bite Sport Fishing when we return on Let's Talk Hookup after Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Hayden Lane here from Fast Lane Kayaking, and I gotta tell you about all the rad new stuff we have in the shop. Like the fully updated new line of Hobie inflatable kayaks, the iTrek series. Hobie took the best-selling i11S and made it even better. Then added new models like it, like the new iTrek 9 that weighs just 37 pounds, fully rigged, packs into a small bag with wheels, and fits just about anywhere. And on the water, this thing performs. Featuring a super wide and flat hull shape that is stable and an elevated beach chair style seat that is comfortable. Or the all-new Hobie Mirage Lynx. Inspired by the shape of the inflatable kayaks, Hobie made a durable and ultralight hardtop model. It's the missing link. It looks like a hybrid of a stand-up paddleboard and a kayak. And the best part, at just 45 pounds, the hull weighs about half as much as similar sized kayaks. And it's stackable. Pile them up on your roof rack or your truck bed. You gotta see this thing. Stop by the shop. Right on the water in Dana Landing Marina in Mission Bay. Or check us out online at fastlanekayaking.com.
There are plenty of boat slips and marinas in San Diego, but there's only one Kona Kai. It's not just a place to park your boat. It's a way of life here in America's finest city. The Kona Kai Resort Spa and Marina has multiple swimming pools and a private beach, waterfront restaurants, and award-winning spa, most of which is included for marina tenants. Check ResortKonaKai.com for more information. The Kona Kai Resort, much more than just a place to park your boat.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered. The all-new, bigger, and better 13th Annual Pacific Coast Sport Fishing Tackle Boat and Travel Show is March 2nd to the 5th at the OC Fair and Event Center in Costa Mesa. Tackle, fishing resorts, fishing boats, and amazing seminars. March 2nd to the 5th at the OC Fairgrounds in Costa Mesa. Don't miss it.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And, man, I'm sensing fishiness here. The full moon. We've got Brandon talking sea bass. I think it's all falling in line. And if you want to give us a call, 213-432-1090. Talking bite sport fishing. We're giving away a full-day trip on the Liberty out of Fisherman's Landing.
Yeah, and we just heard the ad for the Pacific Coast Sport Fishing show coming up in March. And you guys are going to do seminars there.
We are, yeah. We'll have a booth, and all the captains are going to go up there for like a panel-style seminar the way that they've done it.
Cool. You've done that before there, right?
I've never gone to that show, to be honest
with you. Oh, really? Okay.
When Fred Hall was around, I had a presence there and released the books there and always did seminars and such, but it'll be the first time doing that one.
Yeah, and of course, Barn Hall shows are back this year in Del Mar as well as the end of March in Long Beach. But you're going to do the seminars at PCS with all the captains.
Yep.
All,
we're even going to drag Dylan up there by his hair.
No, come on. Really?
Yeah.
And what are the seminars going to be about?
They want to do swordfish and bluefin, and the way that they do it is there's a moderator, and they just kind of ask questions, so it's not like this PowerPoint or, like, bore people to death, you know, diatribe that goes on forever. So
you're saying that you and Jake and Dylan are going to be there?
It'll be all of us. It'll be myself, Wes, who's been with me
Wes,
the longest,
of course,
Wes
yeah.
Pearson, Jake, Vinny, and Dylan. So the five of us will all go
up
there.
So you have five captains working with you now.
Yeah, yeah. Dylan's like swordfish and toe dip into bluefin.
Uh-huh. That's been his main thing.
Yeah.
I think Brandon has officially gone above captain, and we can maybe call him admiral now.
Admiral.
Admiral of the fleet.
Yeah.
Jake's going, And Brandon's going, Well, hey, phones are packed. They want to talk to these guys, so let's jump into that, Corey.
Let's do it. I want Sean. Sean, call him from Lomita. Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk a Cup, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good morning, guys. Hey, Brandon, I fished with you on 8-day trip on the XL in the spring once. I remember fishing with you. It was great. Just looking back at last year, I'm going to mention my highlight. I want to hear what your highlight is of the 2022 fishing season. I had never caught a yellowtail at Farnsworth Bank, and we were heading out there on the pursuit, and I looked at the deckhand and I said, how about dropping a yo-yo iron there? He goes, no one's ever done that. No one's been doing that. So I dropped it down, scrambled egg, picked up like a 28-pound yellowtail at Farnsworth, and that was my highlight. That was the biggest yellow I've ever caught north of the border. How about you guys? What are some of your highlights of the 2022 season?
Jake, you go first.
Mine was the early season sea bass that we had, or the fish that we had in April. They're just very large for what we were catching at the island.
Like, what's large?
We had a handful over 60.
Oh.
A lot in the 50s, but it was
good fishing. Catalina.
Yeah.
How sweet is that?
That was definitely the highlight, though.
Yeah.
And ripper bites, like biting like you're on a squid grounds, but anchored up on the edge of a reef, like really good fishing for a while.
Was there squid there? I mean, was there a sign of it at all?
No. Not that we knew of, no. Right. Just sometimes if you can find the spot that they kind of wash into and post up at early season.
Or coming down an edge.
They seem like they... There's a couple spots at the island when they get in there, they want to kind of live there and stay there for a while. And it was one of those deals, and... kind of made the most of it for a couple of weeks.
Is there squid there this year? I mean, is there a sign of it?
Tons.
Like, there's lots.
Tons,
yeah.
Too much?
I don't know if there's too much. There's a lot. I think it's good for the fishery, too. There's some stuff going on in China where they're not ordering as much.
Uh-huh.
So the seiner fleet isn't working a whole heck of a lot. So a lot of that stuff's kind of able to kind of nest up and reproduce. And
do its thing.
So I think it'll be good for the... We have great expectations for the spring based
on
how much squid there
is. Like, what are you thinking? Like, if I was going to book a sea bass trip today, I call Brandon or Jake and say, hey, I want to do primetime sea bass at Catalina.
Yeah. I tell people if they have the means and the resources to come out two or three times.
Right.
Just because we live here, people come out for a day and, you know, that's great. But if you're going to go anywhere in the world or go fish for something, especially like a trophy fish, you don't go to East Cape for a day.
No.
Or if you were going to go fish swordfish in Florida, you wouldn't say, oh, we're going to fly out there for a day. Hmm. And if you live here, you can space it around. So I tell people, try to do like a March-April trip.
Okay.
Sometimes not the
highest. Like book three trips in March and April.
No, like one in March or April. Not always the highest success rate, but the best shot at a big one.
Gotcha.
And then do one like May or June.
Oh, okay.
And then we went up to Channel Island Sport Fishing last year, and I think we're just going to keep a boat up there this season. Vinny will run it. So that fishery up there, when it gets going, mid-June can be really good for limits of smaller fish, but, quote, guaranteed action.
What about lobster? Are you still doing lobster?
Still do lobster. I don't have the lobster interest like I used to.
Yeah. You did a lot of that.
A ton. Yeah, no, it's interesting. I was looking through these old posts. I sent it to Jake and the guys, and it was like from December 15th of 2015. I was like, we just caught our 1,500th lobster. I ran those things like every day.
Yeah.
The double limit trips and everything. Just, I don't get the interest for it. There's other people in the landscape that offer those trips.
Uh-huh.
And also when that was going on, we're coming off the tail end of not having a lot of other options in fishing.
Sure.
So I think people's focus has just shifted, but we still do those trips. And
yeah. And will you do like sea bass lobster combos until March 15th or whatever the season closes?
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah. We did. Let me reword that. We did a lot of that last year, kind of from New Year's on. Fishing and lobster. We were doing this really long trip, leave in the morning, catch those big yellowtail in the morning, go into Avalon for lunch, everyone gets a break, take a little nap, and then go do lobster.
That's fun.
So, yeah. But in terms of dedicated lobster trips, I definitely don't get as many bookings as we used to.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Got a great text here. It's regarding swordfish. I knew we were going to get some swordfish questions, right? And for Jake, I followed the Bite Sport Fishing guys for a while, and you guys kick butt. Regarding swordfish, what depth do you like to fish, and how do you pick a depth? And that's from Joel.
Great question.
Yeah, really good.
You could kind of fish them any depth. Brandon fishes them pretty shallow, I would say, comparatively speaking. I mean, shallow as in they could be... the shallowest being 10, like 1050 probably, or 1100 probably.
Shallow is 1050 or 1100. Wow.
Yeah. So the shallowest I've seen one caught is 1050.
Wow.
But you can kind of fish them out to any depth. That's what you go to a different fishing style. You're either fishing them on the structure shallower like that, like be it like 1200, 1300, 1400 feet. You could be fishing a canyon or something like that. Or you could be fishing a water edge, and that could be out in... 2,000 to 6,000 feet of water, but you're only fishing your baits at the same depth, which is that optimal depth of where they live. It's 750 to 1,200 feet. So you can kind of fish them any depth. It just depends on where you see the best sign, via bait or water edge.
Yeah, but so you're in the depth. So just to be clear, the depth you're fishing would be 1,100, 1,400 feet or beyond, or 2,000 feet. But where you're placing your baits is somewhere between 700 to 1,100 feet.
750 to 1,200 feet. We always have our baits in.
And how do you decide where you're putting your baits?
We fish two rods. So one will do a little bit shallower, so say like 750, 850, and then the other one will keep it like 1,000 to 1,200, just to work that full range of water.
Yeah.
But
and
we always keep them the same.
Is there something on the meter that you're seeing, basing what you're looking at?
Yeah, you see like thermoclines, or they call it like DSL, the deep scatter layer. There's different types of deep water bait and water layers and stuff like that you can see on the meter, and you can kind of judge on where to put your baits based off that. If you see it at 800 or something, maybe wind your bait up a little bit from 1,000 and try and be right underneath it.
Yeah, and are you, so you want to be underneath the deep scatter layer?
Yeah, either like in it or just, I like the, like just a little bit underneath it.
Yeah, all right. And are you fishing squid?
Yeah, we fish squids.
Yeah.
There's some guys kind of dipping into some different stuff, like the Florida guys fish the strip baits and bonita bellies and stuff like that. And there's a couple guys starting it out here, but for the most part, we have the most success on squid.
And any particular size of squid you like?
Pretty big, I mean, relatively speaking. Not crazy big, but I mean, like foot and a half.
It doesn't matter how big the squid is?
I honestly don't think it matters.
Can it be 2 feet?
Yeah, it totally could.
Because they're big animals, right?
Yeah, they're big. And the stuff that you see inside their stomachs could be anywhere from a small little market squid, or you see pieces where they've hacked them up, and it's probably off like a 2 or 3 foot squid.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I
was actually with Pete. We saw a swordfish that had whacked
like a pretty big size
squid. Yeah, 2.5 foot squid, for sure. And the thing had been... up in the head region had been kind of sliced and cut, and it was floating on the surface totally fresh. I mean, like, and that was on the 9.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, yeah, middle of the day.
Yeah, we were out hunting around
for tuna
and Dorado, and we saw a bunch of birds picking and went, what's going on over here? Went over there, like, look at that.
Still clear and pretty fresh.
The swordfish is interesting. It's kind of like sea bass, where people have misconceptions. They're like, it's boring and catfishing, but... there's a little bit of a science to it, and there's a few different ways to catch them, which makes it really fun.
And the reward, man.
It's the ultimate, for sure.
The ultimate, right?
It really is.
As good as it gets. Yeah. I mean, if and how, what's the percentage of hook to land?
It's pretty good. I would say probably like a 80%-ish.
80%?
Yeah, at least 80%. Last year, we started tweaking a lot of our styles, and we got a lot better percentage. It used to be, we used to say it was a 50-50-50 fish. Mm-hmm. So 50% of the trips got a shot, 50% of the shots turned into hooked fish, and 50% of those hooked fish turned into landed fish.
Wow.
Now I'd say it's a little bit better if we get a shot. I mean, like I said, this year is a little bit slower. Last year was probably 50-50. But if we hook one, it's a lot better hook-to-land ratio.
Yeah, yeah. And are you a J-hook or a circle hook guy?
Well, we fish J-hooks.
Yeah.
The reason being is the commercial guys fish circles, but that's because they have to.
Ah.
I'll fish circle or a J-hook because I want them to swallow it.
Yeah.
The objective for the commercial guys, they don't really want them to swallow it because if they have bycatch, that's the idea behind them having to fish the circle hook, because if they have bycatch, then they can release it better.
Gotcha.
Versus them just.
But there really is. I mean, the bycatch is really like zero, right?
Yeah, it's zero.
Very little.
It's very, very little.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
A thresher.
Yeah.
I still want to catch like a Luvar or a Opa.
Yeah.
Pomfret.
But they don't eat that. They don't.
They're like up more, I think.
They're up more. Oh, interesting.
You'd have to fish a second line at a different depth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's find out what's biting in the Baja. Yeah, right. We got Castman on hold here, and it's sponsored by Gamakatsu. It's not just hooks that make anglers wild about Gamakatsu. It's the finest split in solid rings. They're also made by Gamakatsu, and if you're looking for quality swivels, Gamakatsu makes the best. And when it comes to assist hooks, Gamakatsu has you covered there, too, with a wide assortment of sizes and types. See your local dealer, or you can check Gamakatsu.com, and we've got Castman on hold with our Cast Tours report. Good morning, Castman.
Hey, good morning, boys. Hope everything is nice and tidy down in San Diego. I bet you're starting to get a little rain down there, aren't you?
Actually, we had some rain, but it's a beautiful day in Southern California today. So we're happy for that.
That's good. That's cool. Very good. Well, I got up here in Oregon, we've got a couple of good days of rain looking forward to. It's a couple of days.
Yes, you've got a couple of good months of rain coming. Sorry to tell you.
Every now and then, you know, like like when they told me.
Yeah, exactly. Time to go to the box.
Hey, anyway, I talked with Danny Talamantes yesterday from Loretto. He's our boat charter guy down there. And, man, they're having a heck of a yellowtail season this year. I mean, there's a lot of yellowtail, and they're fishing anywhere from Coronado all the way up to Punta Pulpito there. I mean, just really some nice, great yellowtail, you know. 20, 25, 30 pounds, Patrick G was down there last week, and he sent me some pictures of some nice fish he caught. You know, it is a windy time. You got to take your chances with that north wind. The days they get out, they're just hammering them. And I said, plenty of bait, just a great amount of mackerel down there, easy to make, you know, 30 pieces, and then get out and start hooking fish. But some really good fishing going on there in Loretto. You get down to San Jose del Cabo down there in the Cabo San Lucas area. The striped marlin there are moving in, coming down from Mag Bay, making the turn. You know, boats are about averaging one per day per boat down there on the striped marlin. So, you know, if you ever wanted to catch a marlin, it's a good time of year to go down there. And it's just starting right now, that season. Of course, the banks up there inside the Cid Cortez around from Punta Gordo there and the fleet out of San Jose del Cabo. Still banging plenty of Dorado. You know, it's just been a banner Dorado year. Doesn't seem to want to stop. And they're still nailing some nice, great fish. You know, most of the fish are between 8 to 12 pounds, but they are getting some 20, 25, and 30-pounders. Wahoo bite really slowed down. There was some cooler water came in and just kind of shut that bite down. But the yellowfin tuna there up in those banks around the island, San Luis and Vinoama area, nice grade of fish there being caught, most of them being taken on chunk squid, and also getting a few on the lures there. But there's some 70, 80 pounders mixed in with that, man, and it's a fairly good tuna bite right now. So anyway, that's a report for this week. anybody wants to book a trip into southern Baja, mainland Mexico, central South America, and all the other destinations we sell, can give me a call at Cast Tours, 800-593-6510, or on the web at www.casttour.com. And I'll talk to you boys next Saturday.
Thanks, Cast Man. Yeah. Stay dry up there, and we'll talk to you next Saturday. Appreciate that report.
Right,
you know, I was talking to, speaking of which, I was talking to Patrick G about Loreto. He was just down there, and he had some pretty fun fishing, staying in La Mission and getting pumped up about Loreto for our April trip.
For sure.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, Patrick G had a great time in Loreto. Drove down there.
I've never stayed at La Mission, but I've heard you and Rick talk about it.
Good
and,
spot.
And I know Loretto's kind of
Loretto's really cool.
French colonial.
Yeah.
Cobblestone.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And as long as the wind's not blowing. You can especially this time of the year.
Yeah.
But it is a great city. All right. Hey, phones are packed. They want to talk to these guys, so let's jump into it.
Let's do it. How about Mike? Mike and Torrance. Good morning. Appreciate you joining us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning.
Hey, good morning, Pete. Corey, Brandon, and Jake, how you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
Okay. Cool. Thanks. An amazing season we had. So many bluefin and Dorado and yellowtail and bass. It was a great one. We finished up on the Pride we left on the 27th and got bluefin on the 28th. So we came home and had, ceviche sashimi on New Year's Eve, and hard to beat. Sean's got a good little operation there on 22nd Street Landing. Just want to say thanks for a great show, and you guys have a good day.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate that. You know, what was also interesting, too, is that late season bluefin, because of either the cold water or because they were eating squid, that stuff had the fat layer on it. Corey and I were lucky enough to gather a piece off of a couple of the boats that caught some fish. And, unbelievable how different it was from the summer fish.
The tanner ones or the big ones they caught after Christmas?
It was the stuff off of Clemente there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Nice.
And the stuff at Tanner, too, both of them. I lucky enough to get a little piece of each. And the smaller fish on Tanner had a really nice fat layer, but that bigger fish,
it's
was
such
off
a
Clemente,
great
there.
Resource, and it's interesting. More and more people call from other parts of the country and the world, really, to come out here for bluefin.
Yeah.
And we don't think about it, because when we lost the 5-fish limit, we went to 2, we're like, oh, man, it's only 2. But compared to the rest of the world, the entire world, there's no other place where you can keep 2 bluefin per person per day.
Yeah.
It's 1 per person per day. 1 per boat, 0.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're really lucky that we're able to harvest it, take good care of it. We have these great fish processors, and it's an incredible resource.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's funny. People always are touting, oh, the fishing in Florida is so great, or the fishing in South Carolina is great, or the here is great, and that is Texas is great. And they are. They have great fisheries.
Yeah.
But we have an unbelievable fishery here. But you just have to work at it a little harder than you do, right?
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah. But the trophies that we have here, are the potential for the quality of fish we have here, I don't think anybody can rival that.
No, especially the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, run out and catch a 300-pound swordfish from 9 miles from home, right?
Right. Watch bluefin swim past the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's December. Yeah. We don't fish for those.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. More good stuff from Bites Sport Fishing. We've got both Jake and Brandon in studio when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup after Mightier 1090. And ESPN Radio.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge lingcod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check Kingfisher Charters.com.
Hey, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano. And, you know, when it comes to big fish, Shimano has the advantage. And between Talica and Tiagra, Jake, what do you fish those big swordfish with?
We fish them with the Tiagras, Tiagra 50s or 80 wides.
Yeah.
And they were great.
Power.
Power.
Smooth. Reliability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the workhorse.
Pretty amazing.
Sure.
What size? The 50 wide or the 50 narrow?
50 wide.
50 wide.
50 wide or the 80 wide.
Get enough line on there.
Plenty, yeah. Especially with 80 pounds factory, you got tons.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, I mean, with an 80, on 80, right?
Yeah.
Plenty of line on there.
More than you'll ever need.
Yeah, for sure. But the most important thing is when you hook that fish, you've got the power to land him, right?
The power, and you don't have to worry about anything. It's the reliability and the peace of mind behind it.
Yeah. And when it comes to big bluefin, Talica, right?
Talica 50. Yeah. Talica 50. We use it for our kite stuff, our trolling stuff. It's great.
Yeah. So check it out, the Talica or the Tiagra at your local Shimano dealer.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hard-working crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and 2 interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Hey anglers, AFCO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. It's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with AFCO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out AFCO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you or learn more at AFCO.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. So much good conversation going on.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah,
good Jake
times.
And Brandon, really super guys, our
super
kind of guys,
cool.
And super fishy guys, too. You want to get through, it's been absolutely packed phone lines right now, but Christian actually has a line open right now at 213-432-1090. 213-432-1090. I want to have a chance to talk to Brandon and Jake, get through, have a chance to win that trip on the Liberty. There you go. Corey, you had a good text, you said, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's for Jake here. He says, good morning, happy new year. And how many anglers do you like taking on the 34 Freeman? And do you supply any of the gear on board? Thanks. And that's
good question.
Jeff in Huntington Beach.
We'll take up 6 people when we supply all the gear. You can feel free to bring your favorite rod or whatever you need for whatever we're doing. But we always have all plenty full set of gear on the boat and anything we'll need for the day. But, we'll take up to 6 people max.
Nice. So what's a day on the Freeman?
A day on the Freeman?
Offshore.
For swordfish is $3,500.
For swordfish.
For bluefin is $5,500.
So you divide that by 6 guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or some people, you know, when we do open parties out of the landing, we take 5.
5.
It's like perfect.
5. Yeah. And so you're doing an offshore, like all the way to Tanner if you need to go, for in a day.
Yep.
What time you leave? What time you come back?
It depends on what time of the year it is. A lot of times we leave at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. because that fish, it's wasted time in the morning sometimes if you don't have wind for the kite.
Yeah.
And that fish loves to bite in the afternoon, which has been proven. So we'll leave at 9 and get back after dark.
After dark. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Very interesting because, you know, I mean, you could go on a sport boat day and a half and do your thing. Really, on the Freeman, you're in the zone kind of the same amount of hours. I mean, but you're narrowing it down, and if you have 6 people or 5 people and you break down that price, it's like, I mean, it's a home run, in my opinion.
It depends on your lens. If you've owned a private boat before and
you know the
expenses, it's the greatest deal in fishing.
Yes.
If you haven't and you're used to doing other styles of fishing, going on a full day on a sport boat or something, it's like, whoa, this is like out of the park. Why is there so much? a lot of our regulars and people who come out are incredibly wealthy. They just have their fishing budget, right, and they plan what they're going to do this time of year. They book their three or four trips, and that's kind of it. And
sure.
That versus owning a private boat is like a steal.
Oh, it's absolute steal.
Yeah.
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 Sure, and you actually catch fish.
And
yeah,
the knowledge and the information part is pretty huge, too. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And now what about a Catalina trip, like a trip to go catch sea bass at Catalina?
That's less. It's last year's rates were $2,400 on the Parker.
Oh, really?
Because you drive, and then you actually turn your engine off.
Yeah. It's all about fuel right now, right?
Fuel and your outboard. I mean, to repower that Freeman is $110,000 with Yamaha 425s.
Wow.
You got to look at your engine as like a battery. You're going to get 5,000 hours out of that, right?
Right.
So divide $50,000 by 5,000. It's like it's $10 an hour every hour that thing's running.
That you run it.
Plus, you're going to lose lower units and service. It's a colossal overhead game.
Yeah. So you have to break all those things, factor those all into running a boat.
Fuel was horrible this year.
Yeah.
And I didn't charge a fuel surcharge. I thought our prices were already kind of up. And most people book in advance. I didn't feel comfortable saying, like, surprise.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but fuel was a killer.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And the trips on the sea bass trips on the 28 Parker, like what time you leave and what time you come back, or is that dependent on?
It depends on when the fish are biting.
Yeah.
When we have the current, we're over there so much, we kind of get a feel for if it's morning fishing, afternoon fishing. Sometimes it's all in the dark. So we just 3 days before we talk to everyone and kind of pencil out time.
So these are customized trips.
I think for that fish and what we do over there, it has to be.
And do you have spots available in prime times for
tons?
A lot of this stuff?
Yeah, a bunch.
Yeah,
a bunch, yeah.
And on the Parker, you can take four.
Four.
Four
you
on the Parker. Up to six or five on the Freeman.
Yeah. You can. Jake's young and beautiful and skinny, so we can slip a fifth on the Parker when he's running.
Parker.
Yeah,
it's a big boat.
It's a deck on that boat is incredible.
Yeah, powered incredible. By.
We're actually getting repowered on one of them and getting twin 300 Yamahas.
Nice.
And that's what the other one has as well. That's what that boat wants.
Yeah, for sure. And how fast are you cruising at that?
With optimal weather and everything, low 30s,
wow.
High 20s.
Nice.
Yeah.
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 Very good. Well, Corey, phones are packed. I want to talk to these guys, so let's
jump in. I agree with you, too. And that's next up is Todd. Todd calling from Costa Mesa. Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Todd.
Hey, guys. I have a question and a comment. I'll do the comment. I rode with Brandon and Wes last year on a trip to Catalina. It was a lobster sea bass combo, and I'm a private boater, and I went just for the experience. And I'll tell you, firsthand, Wes and Brandon, were so helpful to answer all my questions. It was definitely a learning curve for me to fish sea bass and lobster. So. But my question is for Brandon, who is, highly regarded the sea bass king. Can you talk about the squid lights and squid nets that you prefer to use? I'm looking to up my game on catching squid this year and would love to hear what your recommendations are for tools to catch squid. Thank you.
That's a good question. It was primarily coastal, and we made squid on the coast and fished on the coast. We really just got by with a 4-foot HydroGlow underwater, clip it onto the lights type of a light. I feel like that works good in shallower water, like inside 85 feet of water. Or for whatever reason, the squid on the coast seems to float better than squid out at the island. At the island, a lot of times you're like taking stabs and messing around with fireballs, and you don't have this big floaty thing. So at the island, which is how our fishing's been the last 5-plus years or more now, I guess, you really want a crowder, a good-sized crowder, and you really want a serious, heavy-duty underwater sodium light, like with a ballast.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like Squid Max.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Squid Max.
We have one of those.
Yeah, I have one of those, too. Those are gnarly lights.
Yeah, they work really
well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. You definitely want a crowder. You definitely want a legit kind of squid net, a generator, and a ballast. Big change. Season one, I just
a generator or a an inverter too. Can you get away with an inverter on those?
You can't draw enough off of a boat with batteries. I don't think, unless you had some massive bank. But for us, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
We have to bring a little portable
generator.
Like a little
portable generator.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is no big deal, right?
No. You just
like
throw
how
it
many?
On
how many? KW, like a
600.
600 watt.
Yep.
Yeah. That works fine.
I think that's what they are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just put it on the deck and fire it up. And
yeah. Yeah.
Here we go. Light it up.
Yep.
And they're quiet.
One big Squidmax or ballast type light?
We just use one, yeah.
And do you put the HydroGlow down too? Or?
No, I would use the HydroGlow. I would, if I was going to fish at night and I wanted to keep bait built up around me, I would turn the generator off, go quiet, and put out the little green light and do it like that.
Gotcha.
Big problem with the island is seals, and they just kind of rip through you, you know?
Uh-huh.
So you're driving away from them a lot, and it's just not like how it is on the beach where you're just, like, putting the light out and have this big floater, and you fish like that.
Yeah. Much more complicated.
There's more moving parts, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, at the island, you're doing the squid thing where there's literally 100 sea lions, like, on the rocks.
Right.
And where on the coast, if it's spread out between IB, San Diego, La Jolla, and up the coast, that sea lion, I mean, there's 100 sea lions to spread between 100 miles.
Totally, yeah.
So it kind of gets spread out.
A lot less seal issues local. Little sidebar interesting, too, thing is we don't catch a lot of fish at Catalina in the bait grounds. Like, in the winter, we've never had, like, a winter bait grounds bite.
Interesting.
We can talk to Wish about this when he calls.
Yeah.
And I remember this happened when I was a kid, but it's like, you catch your bait and you bring it somewhere.
And you take it to the spot.
Yeah, or you catch yellows on the bait in the winter, but you never catch sea bass on
interesting.
It anymore in the winter.
But
yeah.
But on the coast, you could actually get that done by sitting on the bait ground.
Yeah, if you plop a nest down on the coast from the second week of May until November.
Interesting.
Fish are going to find it, and you're going to catch fish on it.
It's not my style, you know. I mean, I'm just saying it's not my style. It's not my gig, but I love hearing it. I love learning, and I love, like, to me, it's educational. And
I think sea bass has the most gears of any fishing that we do.
Yeah.
Different styles.
Yeah.
You can catch them on bird schools. You can catch them in 2 fathoms on a little beach.
And it could be barely legal, and the next one might be a 55-pounder.
At the end of the day, it's our biggest, like, local kind of game fish.
And are you fishing at Catalina daytime, nighttime? What's the best?
I think the mix is pretty much like 80% daytime these days. You catch a lot in the afternoon.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Daytime is good.
Daytime's good. I take high noon sometimes. It's all over the map.
Yeah. I'll tell you what gets me fired up is like fishing calicos and going through the kelp and fishing the baits that way. And, man, I see these jumbos, you know, and like it's tough for me to dedicate. I say it's difficult because I love action. I love catching calicos. And last year I had a couple sea bass, but they were like 19 and 21 pounds, you know, totally catchable on bass gear. And it's cool to see, but I can't dedicate my entire day to catch them like a 50-pounder.
Or life.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, right.
Clip and Blossom by, I had a question about your website about rates and stuff. So the website needs a little renovation, you said.
Yeah, it's bitesportfishing.com. Or if you type in the old charter name, one-man charters, it takes you there. But I've been locked out of that thing for a couple years. I built that website myself, which you can debate the merits of. So I haven't been able to get in there to update rates and do that type of stuff. You can still send me an email through there. My phone number's on there. It's just
You can get general contact information at bitesportfishing.com. B-I-G-H-T.
Yeah, exactly. The rates aren't updated on there. So you can just give me a call or just drop an email through the website, and I'll get back to you and let you know. And that's on my winter project list number four.
One of many.
Yep.
All right. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. Top of the hour break. Coming back more from Bite Sport Fishing. Jake and Brandon in studio when we return on Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Rock Cod Rick here to tell you about Parker Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now, you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Screw at West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip and there they are. Parker Boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as the sporties. There's a good reason for it: fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parkers in stock and ready for delivery, and they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
If you get back to the launch ramp and need extra power to run your electric tool or charge a battery, your San Diego County Ford dealer has the answer. The Ford F-150 truck now has available Pro Power on board to use your truck as a mobile generator. You will find this amazing feature on the Ford F-150 truck so useful in many different ways. What about powering a fridge or freezer to get your fish home? Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer to learn more. They'll be glad to hook you up.
In America, the future belongs to everyone. So we built the vehicles of the future for everyone. Command the road with built Ford Tough trucks. Gear up and head out in a Ford SUV. Or check out Ford's adventurous new lineup like Bronco, Bronco Sport, and Maverick. Order your perfect truck or SUV built for you, by you. Or get big cash back, low APR, and exclusive lease offers at your local Ford stores. Where the future is for everyone.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
Rancho Leonero is very family-oriented. People have brought their children down, and now they're bringing their children. It's not unusual to have three generations of family at the hotel. Grandpa, dad, and normally sons, sometimes daughters. The families come back year after year, and it's a safe place for the kids. It's small, it's intimate, right on the water, 2 miles of beachfront. The water's very shallow in front. There's no currents to speak of, no waves. We have child care, $10 a day for a babysitter. Security is high at Rancho Leonero. It's really unnecessary, but it adds up comfort level. And we really do encourage the families. It's a great place for family reunions, family get-togethers, weddings. We do it all. 1-800-646-2252. 646-BAHA. And RanchoLeonero.com. There's nowhere that I can think of to have the same atmosphere and the same experience that you get at Rancho Leonero. We love families.
Long-range fishing, nothing beats Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Come check out the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever-drag two-speed reels. The Talica features Shimano's Hagani body when throwing jigs. The Shimano Trinidad is your top choice. With the extreme cranking power and Shimano Super Free Spool provides extreme castability. You'll be able to put your jig in the Wahoo Zone. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.